Hitting the drums. I can't do it with both hands because I kind of fucked up my shoulder this week. Hello, everybody. Welcome. Oh, my God. As soon as the show goes live, everything starts going downhill. Literally, everything was perfectly fine until just now. My microphone almost fell off the arm. Everybody, welcome to another episode of Best of Five. I'm so excited to be here. Full disclosure, I was kind of meh on having the show today, yesterday, but, you know, then today happened. unfortunately, Automatic couldn't be here with us. However, he will be back next week. So, let's just get into it. We have a lot to talk about. Obviously, this is going to be the Marvel show, right? I'm so happy that in the chat while the countdown was going on, a lot of people saw the thumbnail, saw the countdown graphic, and went to Altered Beast. And honestly, that makes me happy because that's exactly what I was quoting. Man, I love that game. When's the Altered Beast collection, huh? I want to play like the arcade ROM, not the Genesis ROM. You know, there's an arcade here in Austin that has the arcade cab for it, but the jump button's broken on player one. Those jerks. I just want to hear "Wise from your grave." That's all I want in life, honestly. And then to turn into a dragon and a werewolf and a bear and a more powerful werewolf afterwards. Am I missing any? What other animals do you turn into in that game? Let's see, it's wolf, first level, then dragon, then bear, then what do you turn into when you're in, like, that blue level, the second to last level? You know what I'm talking about? Ah, whatever. That's not a fighting, well, I guess it is a fight, like, a brawler. Whatever. Welcome to Best of Five. This is a Best of Five, welcome to Best of, all right, take two. Action. Welcome to Best of Five, your weekly FGC talk show, where today we're just going to talk Marvel. But before we get to Marvel, we have a couple of things I want to knock out of the list before we start. First, we're going to have a little recap. It's going to be a non-traditional recap, right? Or actually, it's closer to a traditional recap, I suppose. But it's going to be a non-traditional recap just because I was having a rough time earlier today. If you watched this morning stream, you know exactly why I had a rough time. If you don't know why, you can watch the VODs on Twitch and then it'll let you know. But anywho, we're going to have a non-traditional recap. I want to briefly bring up CEO because CEO is next week. After that, we're going to go through all things Marvel. I got the press release from Capcom. Capcom was gracious enough to let me have access to their press site. They gave me access, I think, a couple years ago, and I'm still in there, and I still get all that information. So, because the Capcops were so nice to us in breaking the Best of Five curse, where everything is announced after Best of Five. So, because Capcops and Nintendo were so nice to give us this ridiculous, like, huge news on a platter right before our show, I want to show them a lot of love today. So we're going to just talk Marvel, and that's it. I want to go over every little bit of information that I got from the press release. I got some screenshots. We got some trailers. We got a lot of stuff to go over. So this is going to be a fun show. And it's odd because, you know, I share on this show a lot. Like, I loved playing Marvel vs. Capcom. I specifically grew up with Marvel Heroes vs. Street Fighter. I had it on the PlayStation 1 when I was in Brazil. I think it was pirated. I don't know. And that was one of those things where, like, growing up in Brazil, everything was pirated, right? I didn't know it was bad. I didn't know it was good. I just had, like, nondescript CDs with, like, the marker written on it. It wasn't my fault. You can blame my dad on that one. Or the country for being terrible. But anyway, all that aside, let's get to the recap, shall we? It's going to be, like I said, it's going to be a little bit non-traditional, but I'm going to try to knock it out. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, before we start the recap, everybody clap for the best mustache in the chat, bar none. Die by Sword, resubscribing for 80 months. Jeez, is that 6 years? Damn, whatever it is, it's really like a gigantically long time. Die by Sword, thank you so much for all of that you've done for the show. I'm happy to have you here. This one goes for you, Die by Sword. If this goes well, this one's tributed to you. But anyway, ladies and gents, let's take it to our Steve Ace King Offsuit Jurek Memorial. He's not dead. He just retired. Recap, starting and ending, because we only have one, with Final Combat. Final Combat was this past weekend, and we saw the culmination of the first Mortal Kombat 1 tour. And we had a hell of a finals. We had so much character representation at the beginning of this top eight. However, towards the end, things started getting a little samey with some Peacemaker mirrors and some Johnny mirrors. So the game still has a little bit of a ways to go. The event wasn't perfect, but it was an amazing, amazing event. I loved watching it from beginning to end. And would you look at who stands atop the throne once again? The NB Sonic Fox, winning themselves the big gold medal and the big Shao Kahn axe and 70,000 smackaroos. Nicholas from Chile taking the silver medal, getting himself 36,000 smackaroos. And Ninja Killer from the USA with a heartbreaking loser's finals loss, landing himself in still an amazing, amazing bronze medal with 24,000 smackaroos going into his pocket. Lebanon's Faisal Combat taking the fourth place with $16,000. Scorpion Brox, the other twin from Chile, ending up in fifth along with the Mighty Unjust from the USA. They are both taking home $10,000 each. And last but certainly not least, Great Britain's Video Games Yo and Zombat taking home $5,000 each for tying for seventh. And that, ladies and gents, was the Final Combat and the Mortal Kombat 1 Pro Competition 2023-2024 season. Congrats both to NRS. Congrats to Tento, Ultra David, Ketchup, Mustard, and Mr. Aqua for bringing us amazing commentary throughout the weekend. And congrats to all the players for their amazing gameplay and their amazing results. And that, ladies and gents, is the end of this week's Steve Ace King Offsuit Jurek Memorial. He's not dead, he just retired. Recap. Cool. I did that all by hand, by the way. But anyway, I'm happy I got that recap in. I was kind of like setting some stuff up and I didn't get to do the actual video, so I'm glad we at least got something. But anyway, if you guys missed it, dude, Mortal Kombat 1's Final Combat was so cool. Was so cool. The set design was amazing. The gameplay was really cool. And like I said, towards the end of the tournament, things started getting samey, right? Where you could definitely tell like who the meta picks were, and it was definitely like a lot of Johnny Cage, Chameleon, and Peacemaker Kano. But in the beginning of that top eight, there was so much character variety. It was really, really fun to watch. I had a blast. Next, before we dive into Marvel, there's one more thing I wanted to point out. Actually, there's two more things. Since we were talking about Mortal Kombat, no announcements after Final Combat, right? That always kind of hits me by surprise when that happened. No announcements after Final Combat. No gameplay trailer, nothing. They just said, all right, tournament's over, go home. Which, you know, we did. However, yesterday evening, we got an announcement via the Mortal Kombat Twitter. And it was an unfortunate announcement, but not a terrible announcement nonetheless. Because there is an announcement in there. Also, hi, I'm still here. I decided to put myself over here for the solo shows just in case. And for those of you listening to the audio version, I'm just still on the screen even though we have the tweet up and I pointed to the wrong direction. Anyway, this was released yesterday by the Mortal Kombat Twitter. Before we can release Farrah as our next cameo fighter, we need a bit more time to make sure she can assist to the best of her abilities. Farrah will now be available alongside Takeda's early access release on July 23rd. Immediately after Evo. We thank you for your patience and we'll keep you updated. So, two things about this announcement. First, I appreciate the fact that they're taking more time for the cameo to come back. Admitting that you need more time to cook something up is never a bad thing, right? You don't want to serve people raw chicken, that's bad. So make sure it's cooked. And secondly, as far as I know, this is the first time I've seen a date and Takeda, who is the final DLC character. in the same tweet, right? Like, they're talking about him being released on July 23rd. That's the first I've heard of it. I could be wrong about that. But either way, cool announcement nonetheless. Interesting that it's, again, like, immediately after a Rick event, right? I feel like the best of five curse has proliferated to all of the TOs in the FGC and has left us because we got this huge present that we're going to talk about in a little bit. And speaking of the best of five curse, I wanted to talk about Grand Blue, because Grand Blue announced that there is a new update that is set to go live on June 24th. And it's all about gutting Beatrix. And by gutting, I mean they're making her, whatever her stroke the big tree move is, whatever the name of that move is, they're making it blockable in the air, which is, you know, good. And they're also... they're also kind of cutting her damage back a little bit. And after playing a little bit of it last week, pretty good. Pretty good. I think these are good decisions. They also made sure to make her meter recover slowly after using her, like, whatever, like, the time slow thing. It looks like the thing from Bayonetta. They're making that. They're making that recover at 30% speed while you're still doing the combo. Once your combo is over, then it recovers normally. So, seems like good situations all around. However, this comes 4 days before CEO, right? So the best of five curse, although it's kind of like the backwards best of five curse, right? Because this is like right before the event. It was very nice of the people over at Grand Blue to acknowledge that this sucks timing wise for CEO, because they have to spend so much time updating every system that they're going to play on. And after this happening before DreamHack, after this happening right before Combo Breaker, after this happening before the other DreamHack, it's happening before CEO, along with Bison coming out just 2 days later. So, shout outs over there to Jabali and the CEO squad. Best wishes, best of luck. I can't wait to see what you guys come up with this year. I'm looking forward to it quite a bit. But those are the other fighting game news. Let's get into it, shall we? Let's get into it. It's time. So, I... on the stream, since we do a daily stream, on our daily stream yesterday, I had mentioned that I was going to try to be up for the Nintendo Direct, but since there wasn't any like fighting game stuff, I wasn't going to make too much of an effort, so no promises. And the, wouldn't you know it, the one time I don't make an effort to watch something, something huge happens. And I found out something huge was happening because I was outside doing some errands, and then all of a sudden, I just heard a gigantic explosion. Like, I'm talking, like, the ground shook, trees were blown over, and all I heard echoing throughout the air here in Austin, Texas, was this. So after hearing that and figuring out that that was Maximilian all the way over there in California, whose house has now exploded, that he no longer has a roof because of the excitement, it's Marvel. A very unassuming Nintendo Direct dropping quite possibly the biggest news for the FGC for the year. We got a simplified trailer during the Nintendo Direct itself. However, Capcom has released a more extended version of that trailer, so let's take a look at it right now. And I cannot tell you how exciting this is. Right, we had Maximilian on a couple years ago.
Oh God! Oh no!
Holy shit, that was loud. I'm so sorry. So, we had Maximilian on last year specifically for this, right? He was doing the free MVC 2 movement. He was talking about how Marvel vs. Capcom 2 is like one of the greatest games ever and it's not available. And then all of a sudden, 2 years later, after doing all of this work that he did to start like this movement, right? And he's saying on Twitter, like, it's not him, it's everybody. He was, you know, it takes one person to knock a pebble down the hill to cause the avalanche. You know what I'm saying? So, him, like, kind of directing the voice of the FGC towards this is, I think, a huge catalyst into why we got this, among other things. But man, can you believe this? Can you absolutely, like, this is unbelievable. We have all of the Marvel versus games, including the first ever Marvel and Capcom collaboration with Punisher. Dude, this is so crazy. Also, if you guys haven't played the Punisher arcade game, this game is so sick. It's very graphic, surprisingly. Like, the beginning screen, they straight up have, like, Frank Castle's family, like, shot up and bloodied. It's kind of crazy. But, man. And on top of that, we get, like, a ton of crazy, crazy, crazy features that I think if you would have spoken to somebody maybe even, like, 3 years ago, nobody would ever have thought this was happening. And we're going to go over each one of these gosh darn things throughout the show today. But the fact that we have finally a modern release version of the Marvel games, the Marvel Capcom games, well, the Marvel versus Capcom games, is unbelievable. And honestly, I think today, you know how in the FGC for Marvel, like, there's been, like, this cloud hanging over people, right, after MVCI and how that game kind of fell out, of Capcom and kind of fell out of the FGC. I think this was one of those moments where, like, the skies parted and the rays of light are now shining into, like, Marvel heads, and everybody is just collectively losing their minds. This was so unexpected. And it has 7 games, and it is part of what they're calling a series now. This is a specific series, the Capcom Fighting Collections, right? We got the Capcom Fighting Collection before with Darkstalkers, and with a couple of releases, with a couple of other miscellaneous games in there as well, with Pocket Fighter, Street Fighter 2, Puzzle Fighter, and one of the releases for Street Fighter 2 as well, along with all of the Darkstalkers game and Red Earth. And now, and they're using that same logo, that's how you know it's, like, part of a series, and it says so on their website. The Fighting Collection is a thing. It's a thing. It's going to be, hopefully, an ongoing thing. And honestly, after seeing this, immediately after we got the news of Terry and Mai being in Street Fighter 6 a couple weeks ago, maybe the next Fighting Collection is going to be some, you know, Capcom versus SNK? Maybe. Let's not get our hopes up, but that's where my brain is going. You know what I mean? No release date as of yet, but it is coming out this year in 2024. The year of the FGC, I guess. And it is coming out on Nintendo Switch. It is coming out on PlayStation 4 and subsequently PlayStation 5, because PlayStation 4 games are backwards compatible on PlayStation 5 and on Steam. So we're eating Marvel good. We're getting all of this on PCs and PlayStations and Nintendo Switch. The fact that it's on Nintendo Switch is so sick. It's so sick. I can just walk around and, like, hand a controller over to someone. And then we have to, like, try to figure out how to play fighting games on, like, the little Joy-Cons. I have tried to play Third Strike on this. It doesn't work. My hands are too big. You know what I mean? But it's still fun nonetheless. Until, you know, your hand starts hurting, then it's not so much fun. But holy, like, can you believe it? Can you believe it? After everything that's happened, after the downfall of the Capcom and Marvel partnership with Marvel versus Capcom Infinite, after that whole debacle, it's back. And it is the first time we've seen a release of this game, I believe, since, like, 2010. Unless you count the 1UP Arcade. Unless you count the 1UP Arcade thing. But, you know. And I think the 1UP Arcade was a big catalyst for that as well, if I'm going to be completely honest. But yeah, the game, the last version of Marvel vs. Capcom 2 that was widely available was taken off of the Xbox and PlayStation digital stores because of the falling out with Capcom. Like, I think that was when their licensing agreement expired. And since then, they removed it from the store, and it has never been available. And this was back in 2013. So 11 years later, it is back. There's a couple of catalysts that I think led up to this. And I just wanted to bring these up because this is so ridiculously monumental. The fact that, like, this is happening again. So first, of course, like, we can't talk about Marvel without talking about Maximilian, right? And like I said, Maximilian says he doesn't want to take credit. It's not him. It's everybody. Like I said before, it takes one person to, like, flick the pebble down the hill for it to cause an avalanche. So the free MVCI movement is 1,000% one of the catalysts that caused this to happen. Is it the only thing that caused it to happen? I don't think so. Maybe it is. I don't know. He did free Killer Instinct, and now we got an anniversary edition as well. So maybe Maximilian just, like, kind of knows how to convince companies to do shit. But there's a couple other things that I think really kind of, like, got this moving in the eye, in like the minds of the people at both Marvel and Capcom. First is the Arcade 1-Up thing. Arcade 1-Up was able to license Marvel vs. Capcom 2 into their tiny cabinets, and I didn't buy into it because, like, that doesn't interest me all that much, and it was really, you know, what do you call it, expensive. However, every time, like, as soon as that thing released, it was completely sold out everywhere I saw it. Like, you would go to Walmart, and there would be, like, the little card that was, like, Arcade 1-Up, Marvel vs. Capcom 2 cabinet. None of them were there. They were always all sold out. Two, the success of Street Fighter VI is 1,000% a catalyst for this as well, right? Having this, like, having Street Fighter VI have the success that it has had, where it sold, what, like, 3 million copies within the first couple months. I think it's at the point where it sold, what, like, 5 or 7 million? I forgot what the last number or the last thing, the last milestone they've reached is, but they have been killing it. And all of the response for Street Fighter VI and how positive that has been, both in the FGC and out of the FGC, has been so ridiculously positive, right? That it absolutely has to be a catalyst. And the fact that they've been doing things right for the most part at Capcom is absolutely something that needs to be looked at, to have influenced this, right? Secondly, the success of Capcom in general, and that's what Bob's Gaming is talking about in the chat right now. Monster Hunter and Resident Evil 7 kind of paved the way. Monster Hunter money, Resident Evil 7 being as huge as it was, that shift of Capcom, and I think specifically Monster Hunter World, like, as soon as that caught fire the way that it did, that seemed to change the entire direction of Capcom. You know what I'm saying? And as soon as they got that money, they had that money to spend, and you got to spend money to make money. But man, it was insane. The shift between Capcom of, what, like, 2013, 2014 to Capcom after Monster Hunter World, right? There were so many reports of, like, Capcom being on its last legs. They couldn't keep up. If it wasn't for Sony doling out some money and trying to support Street Fighter V and the esports approach that they took, we wouldn't have even gotten a Street Fighter V, right? So Sony had to come in and help Capcom develop a game. And then all of a sudden, Monster Hunter World kicks off and Capcom is back. Capcom is back and they're making good stuff again. And they're making things that are exciting. You know what? You know what's even crazy? Has anybody played Exoprimal? I played Exoprimal. I had a blast. That game was actually really fun. It's not even something I would normally go for. But I had a really good time playing Exoprimal. And they're still, like, every once in a while, I still see them doing updates and releasing new stuff for the game. So they're trying really hard to make that game a live service game. I don't think it's going to be that, but it seems like it's still popping off in its own way. So Capcom is, like, that shift from, like, the success of Monster Hunter to now is night and day. It's absolutely night and day for Capcom. So that's catalyst number two. Catalyst number three. This one, I don't know how much weight this carries, but I would like to believe it does quite a bit. And that was Marvel 3 at EVO last year. Marvel 3 at EVO last year. For Rick and the EVO crew to be able to... Oh, shit. My headband's gone. Rick and the EVO crew to be able to get the rights to run a tournament for Marvel 3 after, you know, a couple of community members kind of like made sure to keep that game alive during the pandemic. And the resulting success around that, right? Like, it was one of the games on Sunday. And it was a blast to watch. So the reception of the game itself was amazing at Evo. And I think somebody at Capcom probably saw that and was like, hey, this is positive. We should capitalize on this. I think that was another huge catalyst for Marvel coming back. You know, because anytime you can, like, quantify something to, like, a business person, right? You know, if you've never worked in an office, like, sometimes talking to a business person about ideas or about something you want to do, their brain just goes to risk, money, and return on investment. That's it. So when you can get all three of those, trains of thought taken care of by an event like Evo, right? Because was it a risk? No. They just, if anything, I think they probably had to pay Marvel to do it. Did it make money? There were so many people playing Marvel. There were so many people entering. I'm actually gonna try and bring up the numbers, because it was like, if I remember correctly, it was close to 1,000. Yeah, it reached 1,300 entrants. It's 1,355 entrants for Marvel in 2023. So you can only imagine that, like, you know, somebody at Marvel and somebody at Capcom saw that and were like, you know, money sign, cha-ching. You know what I'm saying? So absolutely, I think Evo and the Marvel 3 tournament had something to do, or were like at least like a little bit of a catalyst for this happening as well. Now, let's get into some of the cool shit that they're putting in this thing, shall we? That's a lot of zeros. Yes. Dude, 1,000 people. That's like, could you even imagine like in the FGC having a 1,000 player tournament for anything? Like, just reaching 100 people at one point was like ridiculous. And look at this key art, man. The key art for this looks so sick. It looks so good. You know what? I'm even going to put it full screen. I'm going to put it full screen because it's that good. Look at this. I'm even going to zoom in because this is the 4K version I got from the press release. Zoom. Dude, look at this. We have a new handshake. This is kind of like a more like bro handshake than before, right? With Cyclops and Ryu. We have Chun-Li and Psylocke kind of vibing with each other. We have Captain America and Captain Commando trying to like do the captain thing, right? Both of them have their hands on their hips, kind of like the Captain Jack, with, you know, the rum. We have the meme of Spider-Man and Morgan, you know, boinking. Like, it's still there. Then we have Venom and Geef, you know, both of the big body characters. You have Iron Man and Mega Man, and then you have Wolverine, Storm, and Tronbon, and Strider. And of course, at the very background, at the very top, you have the epic stare down of Bison, who has quite possibly like the most expensive dentist bills in the world to have those kind of teeth, and Dr. Doom. And then to add on top of that, you have hidden in the background, you know, the true villains of both series. You have Thanos with the Infinity Gauntlet on the left, on the Marvel side rather, and then you have just a little bit of Akuma's face hanging out on the right side. So, man, this is insane that this is happening this year. Shadowloom must have a great dental plan. They probably do, man. They probably do. I think that's the one good thing about like evil organizations is they at least know how to compensate people. What dope key art. Dude, it's so good. It's so good. And it's so Marvel versus Capcom. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know how else to explain it other than it's very Marvel versus Capcom. It's so good. Let's get into it and talk about some of the stuff that we're going to see in this game, in this collection, if you will. First, again, I'm going to keep these full screen because we have 4K images with a lot of detail and a lot of cool stuff. First, look at this. This is what the game is going to look like. This is Children of the Atom, I believe. And you have, they're doing what they do usually with these collections, and they're letting you have like filters, right? So things look like they did back in the arcade with the CRTs. They have the Marvel superheroes. I'm sorry. Marvel superheroes. Thank you, Squidly. And so they have like the marquee art on the side, like this, you know, this is very like regular like collection stuff, right? But the fact that it's Marvel versus Capcom, and this specifically is Marvel Superheroes, is crazy. Next, what's the next photo? Oh yeah, there's also going to be hella concept art and hella art in general. This is you know, the Dr. Wily stage concept art. And according to the press release of Capcom, there's going to be stuff in there that's never been seen as far as the art is concerned. So we're going to get to see a lot of stuff that we have never seen, according to Capcom, in the press release. And I can't wait. I can't wait. Specifically because, again, and this is something that Max brought up when he was on the show years and years ago. I think it was 2001. Where Marvel vs. Capcom 2 is considered one of the greatest fighting games of all time, right? Everybody has played it. Well, a large majority of the population has played it, even people outside of the FGC, and everybody thinks of that game very fondly. So the fact that we get to see new stuff about that game and all of the other Marvel games as well is going to be so cool. That stuff really interests me. I love just kind of looking at this other stuff. Next. For those of you arcade heads out there, if you remember trying to stretch that quarter as far as you could when your parents were like trying to get rid of you for an hour, they got high score challenges. This one specifically is for the Punisher. But yeah, high score challenge leaderboards. So this is going to be pretty cool. I'm a fan of these, you know. High score challenges are good, man. I used to always put my name in the high scores at arcades, man. For a while, I used to use my actual initials. Then I just did ASS because, you know, ha 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 ha. But yeah, dude, I'm a big fan of like high score stuff, which honestly, I really like in Street Fighter VI as well. So that makes my brain turn thinking about stuff like this in Street Fighter VI. I don't think that's going to happen, though. But anyway, let's keep going. Let's keep going. There's more stuff. And we were talking about art. And I told you, like, some of that marquee art is crazy. This is how you used to be able to learn the games. Dude, look at this. This is the actual marquee art for Marvel vs. Capcom 2. There's a place here in Austin that has a Marvel 2 cabinet that has this, I think. And, you know, the crazy thing about these arcade games is, like, they weren't meant to be played like how we play fighting games today, right? Like, in arcades, I think with few exceptions, these games were not meant to be played at a high level, so they tried to teach you this stuff as efficiently as possible. So they have all of the mechanics on here that you can that you had to like look at to learn, and you could reference while you're playing, because this was on the arcade cabs as well. They had the moves list for every character, and of course, like, these move lists are very, very simplified because there's just so many. I think there's what, like 52 characters in Marvel vs. Capcom 2, which is ridiculously insane, right? Man, look at all this stuff. The Gin Tornado, the Captain Fire, BB Hood is in here, Akuma, and then you have the explanation of like all the mechanics with hyper combos and stuff. This is so cool. They even teach you like snapbacks and crossover combinations and all this other stuff. Man, marquee art is legit like some of my favorite stuff. Straight up. So the fact that they're putting it on there is really, really cool. Now, the other important thing about the Marvel vs. Capcom games, or actually like arcade games in general, was their music, right? Their music was banging. That was like one of the way that you like arcade games would get your attention back then. It's why like there's a whole documentary that Esteban put together called The Audio of Killer Instinct. But they have a music player. You can listen to the music from every game soundtrack that's on here. All seven games, from Children of the Atom to Marvel 2 to Punisher. It's all in there. So I'm pretty sure there's going to be, myself included, going to be a couple people spending some time in there just vibing out. You know what I'm saying? Next, the important stuff. We have online games. These are all going to be playable online, and these are the modes that you'll be able to play. We're going to have casual matches, ranked matches, and custom matches. This is going to be really, really important, and I'm going to get to it in just a little bit after we finish up here. These custom matches, I think, are going to are going to be a huge, huge deal for us in the fighting game community. But these are for all seven games. All seven games. All single one of them. Every single one of them. You want to go play ranked for Children of the Atom? You got it. And even crazier is this is all with rollback, netcode. Capcom, you've done it. Capcom, you've done it. Everybody, is myself included, needs to go change their pants after this announcement. Needed to go change their pants because rollback netcode for all these games is insane. And last but not least, what we're going to cover for here is the... there is a simplified controls. Now, they're not allowing the simplified controls in ranked, and we've had discussions about simplified controls and like the advantages, disadvantages, etc., etc. So, the simplified controls are not allowed in ranked mode. However, you can straight up map special moves to buttons in this game, and I think this is going to be a huge deal. You know, we talk about the accessibility issue with fighting games and how since fighting games are harder, there's a lot of people who can't play them because of either disabilities or like inabilities. You know what I'm saying? So having something like this is so important because it's going to let people enjoy these games to their fullest in ways that they never were able to do so before. You know what I mean? So this is super duper duper important. Now, here's the other thing. And this is stuff that they had in the trailer, but they didn't have in the screenshots. That is, I believe, super duper important. Let me see if I can find it here. Where is it? Oh yeah, there it is. Nope, that's one button. Specials. Oh no. Here, I'm gonna just show it to you guys. I wanna specifically bring up, it's in here somewhere. In here somewhere. Where is it? Ah, there it is. We have training mode with hitbox viewers. Look at this. You can view hitboxes and hurtboxes in Marvel vs. Capcom 2. This is crazy. You would never be able to do this unless you like hacked the shit out of the game. And this is going to be available for every game. Marvel 2, Children of the Atom, Marvel 1, Marvel Super Heroes vs. Street Fighter, Marvel Super Heroes. This is insane. That we're getting like this robust of a training mode, and this is like the modern training mode we're used to now in the future, where you know you can set the dummy to do stuff, you can record certain situations to practice out certain situations. This is going to, I think, this is going to help push the meta of this game in a really bizarre way, and I can't wait for it. I'm here for it. You know what I'm saying, dude? Like. This is so crazy. Oh, and this is the one button specials we were talking about where you can map specific special moves to buttons so you can enjoy the game like you never have before if you weren't able to do stuff like this. Oh, yeah, and save states because, you know, emulation. It's great. And for those of you that are like super, super sensitive to like which patches are which or like which ROM versions are which, they have them on their website. It looks like all of the ROM versions are the final versions, which is both good and bad. It's good because, you know, they have the specific ROM version. You know, we get to know exactly which game we're playing, and that's great. It's bad because I think there were a couple of games that had, like, some really hilarious infinites that eventually got patched out, and some, like, infinite corner combos and stuff. So we do get the final version of it, which means, like, some of those corner combos are no longer available. Which is, again, it's both good and bad. I guess it's good because you don't have to deal with infinite combos in ranked. Could you imagine trying to play and just getting infinited? Getting the Iron Man infinite? I'm going to have to go listen to that song to figure out how to do it. But it's super duper exciting, man. It's super duper exciting. Super duper exciting. I can't wait. The last thing I wanted to touch on before we move on to the final thing I wanted to talk about is the spectator mode. Spectator mode. Why is spectator mode important? Why is having a custom lobby set up with spectating important? Think about Marvel vs. Capcom 3 and how we had the kind of retrofit. Oh, and by we, I mean Tong and Kevin Ha kind of figured out that they could they could use a Parsec machine to get people on there. If it wasn't for that, where they could view what's happening, we would never have online tournaments. So online tournaments, having the ability to, like, having the ability to spectate matches is so important for online TOs and online tournaments, right? Especially with rollback. So having this be like such a gift for to make sure that like online tournaments can happen and we can all like get excited about playing these games at a high level is going to be so important, right? Both, and it's going to be really important both for just straight up TOing and training, right? Like getting to watch your friend play is like super duper important, so you can discuss it and you can then learn from it, etc. It's sick, man. It's sick. This is going to be really, really good. And I hope that this becomes a standard for tournaments, right? Because like the fact that they put this on there is really, really important. So I hope that TOs stick with this version. And I hope that this version works as well as it looks like it will be working, right? So fingers crossed. The last thing I wanted to touch on with this collection that we're getting is we're going to get to see some stuff and we're going to get to play a couple of characters that have never been playable before. Unless, of course, you like hacked the files of the game or whatever so you could play them. But this is ridiculously exciting. The fact that, like, you know, these games are... These games have been around for a long time and we're finally able to play with like boss characters that we never have been able to play with before, or the fact that we're finally going to see like some secret characters that some people probably didn't even know existed in these games is so sick. I took a screenshot of all of the on the web. They have a website for this now, by the way, which is insane. And you can go into each game and they have lists of what they actually changed. And most of the changes are the availability of secret characters. And look at this. This is Children of the Atom. You can play as Juggernaut. You could also play as Magneto over there. These characters were not playable in the actual game. Also, Akuma's in there. I'm not sure if Akuma was playable in Children of the Atom. I believe he was, but I'm not 100% sure on that. But the fact that they've added all of the... like, they're adding all of these secret characters is so sick. And Marvel Super Heroes, you get to play as Thanos, as Dr. Doom, and Anita over there. You guys remember Anita, right? She's Donovan's little lady. So Anita is in here. And Marvel Super Heroes versus Street Fighter. Dude, Cyber Akuma, he's playable. Cyber Akuma's playable. This is so sick. Dude, I remember playing this game and like always wondering why the hell Cyber Akuma looked so different, why I couldn't play him. Now he's playable. You can go into the game settings and you can enable them. And I think Cyber Akuma is like a solo character in this game, which is even crazier. So I can't wait. I can't wait. As far as Marvel 2, all of those characters should be unlocked, I think. Unless like there's something like some bizarre like overlook or like something like goes seeps through the QA of Capcom where like we have to sit there and like play the game to unlock all characters. That would be terrible. And for those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, with Marvel 2, characters would unlock the more people would play the games in the arcade version. So you would have to like play the game to unlock characters. So sometimes you would have arcade attendants for fighting game events that would just sit there at the machine and just click the button to register a credit so that they could get all those characters. Like, they would just sit there for, like, hours and just be like, ding, 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 ding. So it's looking like we're gonna be able to access all of those characters without that much of a headache. So, man, Marvel is back. It has arisen from the dead. The folks over at Capcom and Marvel were finally able to sit back down and give us this collection. And look, what? Also, by the way, I took this down. What is, like I said, like, what is up with Bison and his teeth? I feel like this might have been, like, at a dentist appointment. Like, he was in the middle of a dentist appointment, and they had, like, the mouth guards that, like, opened his mouth. So he's like, because, like, damn, dude. Dude's showing a lot of gum. He's just a jolly fellow. That's a lot of gum. It makes me a little concerned, to be honest. And usually I'm not that concerned about Bison. Oh, by the way, Bison's coming out next week for Street Fighter 6. But anyway. He got a lot of gumption. okay, that got me. So what does this mean for the future? What does this mean for the future? Are we going to get a Marvel 4? Is Marvel Infinite going to come back? Who knows? But what we can glean from this is that the relationship between Marvel and Capcom has been patched, as it were. The bridges are now back before they were burned. There is water under that bridge, and they have once again come together to work together. Hopefully, this means we're going to get some huge Marvel versus Capcom stuff in the near future. And something important to note is with these Capcom fighting collections, if they're treating it like they treated the Darkstalkers collection, this is done in-house by Capcom themselves. They're not just sending this out to Digital Eclipse for them to ruin the emulation like they usually do, right? And no disrespect to Digital Eclipse, but come on, man. Like, every remake they make is just... But we're here. We're here. We're back. Cheyenne in the chat is saying Marvel Infinite PS5 version truly makes sense given how iconic it is. Look, I really like Marvel Infinite. I that was the only versus game I've ever been able to play. Straight up. I usually don't do versus games in a higher level just because my brain can't function with characters. Digital Eclipse did the Darkstalker collection. The fighting collection was Capcom in-house. Oh, got it. Wait, the fighting collection. That's the one with Darkstalkers, right? Yeah, it was like Darkstalkers and then like Puzzle Fighters and Pocket Fighters. Or Super Gem Mini Mix or whatever you want to call it. Am I crazy? Did I just shit talk Digital Eclipse thinking of another company? I don't know. If I got the company wrong, Digital Eclipse, I love you. If I got it right, Digital Eclipse, you know what? I still love you. You know why? Because, you know, remaking games is difficult. Who made the Street Fighter collection? I'm not sure. I would like to believe that that was Capcom in-house, but I could be wrong about that. But anyway. That's all. That's literally all I had in my plate to talk about. Digital Eclipse made the Street Fighter collection. This is according to Squidly in the chat. Digital Eclipse made the Street Fighter collection, and despite the netcode being asked, the actual collection was great. I remember there being a lot of emulation issues with the Street Fighter collection, specifically Third Strike. Granted, a lot of people complain about Third Strike because they're used to their way of playing it, and nothing's going to change that, which is fair. Which is very fair. Oh, Darkstalker's Resurrection was Digital Eclipse. Okay. So I was right. Yeah, Capcom, the Capcom Fighting Collection with the Darkstalkers thing and Red Earth and, like, you know what I'm talking about? That came out recently. That was in-house by Capcom. This, which is in that same series because of that logo, which we talked about earlier, is also being done in-house at Capcom, which, hooray. What's been crazy to really look at, what's been absolutely wild to look at is the Marvel vs. Capcom Twitter tweeting out the new Marvel vs. Capcom fighting game collection, where like their latest tweet before that was a retweet from 2018 saying that Marvel Infinite was now playable on Windows 10. And then before it was like, oh, we had to take down the server for a patch. Seeing the Marvel vs. Capcom YouTube be resurrected is really, really, really cool. And honestly, seeing those channels of communication being resurrected kind of gives me a lot of hope for the future. Especially because the people working on it are like the people that work on the big games at Capcom. Andy Wong, who is the senior community manager and social media manager over there at Capcom, who's the person who's been running the Street Fighter 6 stuff, if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong about that, is running those accounts again. And he specifically said, like, the last person to touch that account was him back in 2018. This is crazy. It's seeing everybody be so happy has been so cool. You know what I'm saying? Seeing a lot of people who really, really love this game and haven't been able to play this game in a hot minute now finally, once again, have access to it is really, really good. I talked a little bit about that OTK Street Fighter event on our streams and outside of the podcast. For those of you that don't know, OTK, which is a streamer, which is a content creator group here in Austin, who is, I believe S-Fan is one of the owners, and S-Fan, friend of the show, we've had him on the show. We had him on the show last year. They ran a Street Fighter VI competition in partnership with Team Liquid. Where was I going with this? But, oh, no, now I remember what I was going to say. One of the players in there, who's one of my favorite content creators, and I genuinely really like this dude, Will Neff, talked a lot about how, like, he's not very familiar with Street Fighter, but he grew up playing Marvel vs. Capcom. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, there's so many people. And, you know, I think this is part of why, like, that free MVC2 movement that Max started, it caught on fire so much, is because everybody has at least touched this game once. Right, it's considered one of the greatest fighting games ever made, and everybody's played it at least once. So seeing it come back, seeing it get some love and appreciation from both Capcom and Marvel, and seeing the care that they're taking to put this into our hands is great. I think the collection itself is going to be like $60, which is it hurts the wallet a little bit, but you know. Is it worth it? I guess that's up for you to decide. Me? I'm probably going to get it. I'm probably going to get it. And honestly, I think this is going to be one of those things where if this does really well, and honestly, with the reaction that it's had, I can't see this not doing well. I can't see this not doing well. That's correct. Double negatives, baby. 60, I thought it was 50. Maybe it's 50. I don't know. It's 50, 60. It's expensive. It hurts the wallet. But seeing the response from this, I hope that it kind of, if it hasn't already, gets some gears moving over at Capcom and Marvel so that we can get, you know, the actual Marvel versus Capcom that is good, that we can all enjoy proudly. Whereas before, you kind of had to justify enjoying it with Marvel Infinite. And that we don't get, you know, eggs instead of Infinity Stones. But all this to say, Marvel vs. Capcom is back, baby. Marvel vs. Capcom is back in the year 2024. 7 games for $60 versus 1 remake I want to get for $60 sounds like a bargain. That's Q-Ball in the chat. Q-Ball, I don't disagree with you. That's a good point. Infinite is greater than Marvel 2. Die by Sword. I think we can spend an entire show discussing that. And honestly, like, look, here's the. I've said this before. I'll say it again. Marvel Infinite, the game looked like shit. And honestly, after seeing it again, this morning we were looking at the Marvel vs. Capcom Twitter and we saw a couple of screenshots of Marvel Infinite. Seeing that game again, that game looked rough. But man, it was fun to play. Right? Like the freedom, like the tag mechanics and like the freedom to just do whatever the hell you want with that system was so, so cool. And it makes me really sad that that game never caught on because I had a blast playing it when I played it. Man, who would have thought? Who would have thought a Nintendo Direct would have the biggest fighting game news of 2024 so far? Good Lord. Capcom Infinite had great functions. All right, ladies and gents, that's literally all I had on the docket, and I've been talking about this for an hour. We've reached the 1 hour mark. Best part of the Nintendo Direct wasn't even a Nintendo game, and that's not to say that the Nintendo Direct was bad. Dude, the Nintendo Direct was so sick. The new Mario Party was sick. What else? They announced a new Metroid that like initially got announced like what, like 5 years ago. No, more than that. 7 years ago, I think. I think it was 2017 when they announced it at E3. 8 years ago. Yeah. There was like that new Mario and Luigi game as well. I don't know, man. Look, Nintendo somehow always manages to like knock it out of the park when they're doing their own thing. I think we just got an ad. All right, I think this is time for me to wrap it up, though. But anyway, ladies and gents, this has been another episode of Best of Five. This is the Marvel, like, freak out about Marvel edition. Because, A, thank you, Capcom, for finally breaking the Best of Five curse where I can talk about this huge news that dropped today. This was sick. And, you know, we're going to be back next year. Or next year. Jeez, we're going to be back next week. Next week, we're going to... There's a hella releases coming out next week. Is Bison... Bison's coming out on Wednesday. See, Capcom giveth, Capcom taketh away. next week, Bison comes out on Wednesday. The Beatrix patch comes out on Monday. CEO is next weekend. So we got lots to talk about then. But we're going to get to all of that when the time comes. Because right now, all we got to do is say goodbye. So thank you, everybody, for joining. If you want to support the show, some free ways of supporting the show are giving us reviews on the podcasts or giving us thumbs ups and comments on the YouTubes or following us on Twitch and YouTube. If you feel inclined enough to subscribe on Twitch, you can give us an extra $5. And that helps. That all goes into the show so we can make bigger and better things. But yeah, I think that's it for now. So thanks, everybody, for joining. I'm glad Capcom took us for a little bit of a ride this week, and we'll be back next week with more Best of Five. Aight? Aight? Okay, thanks everybody. Goodbye.